In today's video, you'll learn about the key trends in corporate purpose from the latest 2023 State of Corporate Purpose Report. We explore the current state of corporate purpose and key findings from top businesses involved in social impact. We also look at where CSR leaders should invest their time and resources in 2023. Let's make a social impact. Hi, everyone. I'm Carl. Welcome to the Social Impact Show, a channel where you get the latest strategies and tips to help you scale and grow your CSR and goodness programs. So today, my guest is Sona Khosla. She is the Chief Impact Officer with Benevity and guest of the amazing and host of the amazing podcast, Speaking of Purpose podcast. Thank you very much, Sona, for joining me today.
Hi, Carl. Thanks for having me back.
Awesome. So today we're going to talk about Benevity's new State of Corporate Purpose Report 2023. But before we get into that, maybe share how corporate purpose has evolved over the past couple of years. You know, a lot has happened maybe since the beginning of the pandemic in terms of corporate purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll just say that sitting down to do this report this year was a terrifying experience because, you know, last year we wouldn't have anticipated that the year would begin with a war and end with an upcoming recession. And so it just kind of goes to show how difficult of a context and a changing environment we're living in. Change is kind of the only constant right now. So, you know, corporate purpose has definitely been on the rise for a long time now, right? We've seen, you know, companies have invested in this for years, you know, with annual fundraising campaigns and with grant making, which has been happening for a long time, and adding, you know, social action programs and learning programs and ERGs and all of those things. But I would say quickly accelerated after the pandemic, more investment, more visibility of these programs. More employees became aware that their companies were actually offering, you know, matching volunteer rewards, you know, supporting crisis activation and mobilization, that they had employee relief programs. And then, you know, with the murder of George Floyd, all of a sudden ERGs just exploded in membership and visibility. So there was just this massive groundswell that was happening, that was building off this very kind of organic growth around corporate social responsibility, because there's a lot of data that shows that purpose-driven companies perform better on all sorts of metrics. But that just accelerated significantly after the pandemic. But then, you know, you look at the latter part of 2022, and there was rising discussion around a recession and economic pressure. And then we started to see companies being forced to make difficult decisions around their investments and their companies to protect their bottom line, with the cost of capital really, really going up and inflation. And so we were seeing some, you know, some early decisions around, well, we think we might need to tighten budgets or look at our resources or look at our focus and our priorities. And so this, for this year's report, what we really tried to do was figure out how we could help companies navigate this time, recognizing all the value we know that purpose brings, but then also recognizing that there's this new kind of pressure being added to the situation around profits. And that's kind of looming overhead all of the work that we've been doing over the last few years around building momentum in corporate purpose.
Do you think some of those things that we saw the past couple of years, you know, the rise of ESG, diversity, equity, inclusion, you mentioned ERGs. Do you feel that there was such momentum behind it? There was such a push. Maybe it was too hot that, you know, now when the economy is unsettled, to say at best, maybe some of that was burning too hot, that it was like, there's no way we could have sustained that.
I don't think so. I think companies met the moment in that time, and that this is actually what employees have been saying for the last 10 years. They want to work for companies that care about the world, that care about the environment, that allow them to engage in their communities, allow them to bring their purpose and passions to work. So I actually feel like companies really met the moment. And what's hard now is that actually we've built up this awareness and demand. So how do companies actually manage in a time when the cost of capital has grown and the pressure for profits has grown? And so I think it's created a new tension that's really putting the values and investments of a corporation to the test. But I wouldn't say that is necessarily that it was running too hot. Maybe I'm biased. I would just say that there were so many crises that were very significant in scope, scale, and impact that required the attention. And there had been this growing momentum around ESG, this growing momentum around employee demand and expectations and consumer demand and expectations. And, you know, coming out of the pandemic, companies and business has remained the most trusted institution. That tells us something about the, you know, what right was done. And so I would say that it's a risk now to be pulling back, even though companies don't always have the choice. And so making those decisions, you know, really judiciously and discerningly is going to be important.
So can you tell us more about this year's State of Corporate Purpose report? And how is it a little bit different than last year's?
Yeah, so like I said, it was a bit of a different experience trying to predict what companies might do this year. And so what we did, this is our third annual report. What we did this year, because it was kind of a, you know, a different year, we had a war, we had a recession starting to kind of show itself at the end of the year, was we actually added, in addition to our own platform data at Benevity, which really reveals the trends from about 1,000 companies that represent 20 million employees, was we actually complemented it with a survey to just get insights on what corporate purpose and CSR and social impact leaders and DEI leaders were thinking. And so we wanted to get a very holistic view of how they were thinking about what was going to be top of mind during this period of heightened economic pressure and uncertainty.
So, you know, in the report, it mentions some of the top trends. So what are some of the top trends you're seeing in corporate purpose for 2023 and beyond? Can you go into a couple of them?
I would say that even though it's the 2023 report, these trends don't change year to year because these investments and the benefit of them tend to take some time. But this year's report really offers a clear view into the challenges and opportunities that companies have and how to remain purpose-driven despite this downturn in the economy. And so we identified five key trends. The first one is purpose and polarization are going head-to-head. And this is probably not surprising to leaders. What we found was that there is a tension among CSR leaders around whether companies should be courageous or whether they should be cautious when it comes to being vocal on issues. So what we found was that 88% of CSR leaders said it's very important to continue to be courageous and outspoken and vocal on major issues, while 71%, almost as many, said that they would want to be more cautious because of mixed stakeholder sentiment. So ultimately, where we came to was that, you know, companies really can prepare manage through this time of tension by considering how they can act as a unifying force for humanity in a world that's rife with polarization and division. So that was the first trend. The second trend was called quiet giving is on the rise. And so what we're finding is that during this time of economic uncertainty and pressure, that companies are starting to really think about how they support those closest to them, whether that's employees or the communities in which they operate at the local level. And so what we found was that 90% of CSR leaders said that companies should spend more time acting on social justice issues through their own practices and programs versus just making bold statements. So again, turning inward, focusing on action over statements. That was a pretty powerful trend that came through. The third trend was really that companies are becoming communities. So as we start to navigate the challenges of hybrid work in this kind of new normal, companies should not miss out on the powerful opportunity to leverage volunteering specifically to create a deeper sense of community amongst their employees. So over 70% of all the companies that we surveyed said that they were investing more in volunteering this year, and especially in-person volunteering around their office locations. And why this wasn't very surprising to us is because what we find with volunteering is that it's profound for the individual sense of well-being and purpose and connection. It's also really, of course, important to nonprofits who are actually currently struggling to retain volunteers and attract volunteers. So solving a bit of a social impact issue or a nonprofit sector issue. And then third, companies are trying to figure out how to unify their people. And what they know that cuts across everybody is this desire for a positive impact and purpose. It's a very universal human need. need. And so because volunteering kind of achieves these this triple benefit of individual well-being, you know, business connection, value to the culture, the community, and then providing much needed resources in the nonprofit sector, it's a pretty powerful solution to a lot of the problems that companies are facing today and that our world is facing today. The fourth trend is that ERGs are a must-have in DEI. And so ERGs aren't new, of course, but they have definitely heightened in strategic value to companies. And what we're finding is that companies are prioritizing support for employee resource groups and that the ones who do are going to reap a host of business and employee benefits, similar to volunteering. So we found was that 96% of employees agree that ERGs should continue to be a critical DEI investment in 2023, despite economic pressure. So the value that employees get from ERGs is pretty profound. Over 90% said it improves well-being. It helps unify the workplace. CSR leaders see it as an opportunity to build allyship, understanding, empathy, growing critical skills amongst ERG leaders. So really powerful, again, for the employee and for the business, as well as for communities and people from historically excluded groups. The final trend actually comes back to ESG, which you mentioned earlier, Carl. And this one was really about the fact that we are evolving from an ESG mindset to be thinking more about positive outcomes. And so what we're seeing is that it's imperative that companies continue to focus on purpose and positive impact and not just risk disclosures, which come with ESG. And they need to do this as a part of their long-term strategy. So what was interesting was that 86% of the leaders that we surveyed said that companies should focus on driving greater impact versus just ESG reporting. So I think we're starting to see some teasing out of ESG is not impact. ESG is still around managing risk around non-financial factors in a business, environment, social governance, but positive impact is actually going beyond the risk and trying to generate positive outcomes in the community. So really kind of those are the five trends. And, you know, what we took away was that if companies aren't already thinking about those trends, they really should be, because falling behind in any of these areas can definitely lead to a negative impact on the business, such as losing talent and customer loyalty or risking brand trust, especially the trust that was built up during the pandemic, and ultimately missing out on the power of purpose to create a more sustainable and resilient business, as well as more resilient communities. And that's what today's workers and consumers really want, and that's who they want to work for, and that's who they want to buy from.
You know, you mentioned the first one, especially the polarization, got me thinking about something that's, you know, been in the news a couple, last couple of weeks, maybe even in the last month is, you know, there definitely is going to be polarization. You're seeing it, you saw it with Bud Light, you saw it with Anheuser-Busch and the backlash that came from that. And there's so many different ramifications. We don't need to go specifically into the reasons why, but I think like, that is something that companies do have to think about. And where was I? I was listening to, I don't know, I think it was a podcast where I think the question for a lot of companies is, do you lean in and stand behind the principles that you have actually said and espoused and, you know, some would say like promoted to your employees and to your stakeholders, to your shareholders, to your customers? Or is it a time to kind of back away because you will face that backlash? So it's very interesting that especially that first trend.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, my perception of the Bud Light situation is not that they went against their values, it's that they moved really fast into a new set of values that maybe hadn't taken root in the company and in the brand, which created kind of like organ rejection. And so it's okay. I actually think it's like a really interesting lesson in readiness to do that. But I actually don't think it's going to, in the end, I get that there's massive financial implications, massive social implications, but this is also how brands learn. Hopefully what they learn is not that they shouldn't be bold and stand for, you know, human rights, I think it's about learning how to go to market with a shift in values and purpose. And hopefully, you know, sometimes you crash into the room and that's kind of what Bud Light did. And you know what, they'll find their new place. And, you know, and unfortunately what ends up happening is companies get kind of a massive fear, that gets adopted because we don't want to take that. It was bad. And yeah, it was bad. But also, there's actually a lot to learn about how they can do it next time. And they've kind of forged a path, whether they like it or not. And they can learn from that and take steps that feel more right. And there's going to be a ton of learning from this. So I just hope that that's not lost, you know, because as humans, we like to succeed at everything. But those failures are tremendously powerful.
And remember, if you're getting value from this video, we'd really appreciate you hitting that like button. And the question of the day for you is, how have you seen corporate purpose move today? And how has it affected your workplace, if any? Let us know in the comment section below. So, you know, a big piece of corporate purpose is diversity, equity, inclusion. So how are CSR leaders creating strategies that connect corporate purpose and DE&I?
So one thing I'll say that's kind of really emerging on this front, Carl, is that we're actually starting to see DEI and social impact come together under one leader. That is like very new. It's a very emerging trend. We don't have data on it. It's just kind of early signs and signals out in the market that we're seeing this. And so what this is kind of manifesting is these leaders are starting to bring that equity and inclusion lens to their workplace giving and volunteering programs, to their grants, and then also their internal culture, of course. So they're looking at that going, you know, should we be looking at our match caps by different employees? Should we be looking at how much we're willing to invest in matching dollars or volunteer awards? And how do we enable frontline workers to be able to get the time to volunteer like corporate headquarters can? So really bringing that equity and inclusion mindset to these employee engagement programs on the impact side. And then what we're seeing is on the other side is ERGs are becoming massive amplifiers of social impact programs. And so they're being given funds to donate and make grants to nonprofits that support their cause and their communities out in the world. They are also running their own fundraising campaigns. They are organizing volunteer events and learning events and action, you know, programs and advocacy within their own companies. And so ERGs have become a powerful amplifier of the social impact and the impact and purpose programs that are at companies as well. So really interesting dual benefit happening here. And so I think there's absolutely a powerful opportunity for, if these things aren't under one leader, for the CSR leaders and the DEI leaders to be coming together, because what is happening in the workplace are issues of equity, which is exactly what impact work is. They're issues of equity. And so they're actually doing similar work just in different contexts. And so if they can leverage each other's resources to amplify their work and generate greater outcomes, that's pretty powerful.
You know, speaking of impact, you know, there's a lot of great work that's been, you know, coming out of, I guess, Benevity's Impact Labs, you know, the State of Corporate Purpose Report, the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Report, both which you can get in the description below. So can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, the work that's happening with Benevity Impact Labs?
Yeah, sure. So Benevity Impact Labs is Benevity's social innovation lab. And what we're, you know, set up to do is basically to bring data, research, and insights to the broader community to help them leverage that to accelerate impact and inclusion in their workplaces and in their communities. So we want to be kind of a catalyst for greater momentum around driving DEI and social impact in the workplace and out in the world. And so that's really what we've been up to. We've been publishing reports for the last few years on all types of topics around driving greater impact and inclusion. You know, Benevity's got one of the largest corporate client communities and largest nonprofit bases. And so we've got a tremendous amount of insight around what's happening. And we just feel like it's our own social good to be able to publicly share that data anonymously, of course, and allow other companies to leverage, you know, what we're seeing and generate best practices in their own context to catalyze more action.
And so you mentioned, you know, Benevity's client community. What are some impacts that they've achieved in 2022?
Yeah, so 2022, so you can get all the actual impact stats in the State of Corporate Purpose report. But what I would say is that, you know, again, a strange year last year, a tough year with many crises, and then this recessive economy starting to show up in the latter half of the year, we actually still saw record-breaking impact from our community. So that's just a testament to the commitment of these companies and their people. And I think is a great antidote to all the news about purpose washing and greenwashing and ESG washing. But no, most notably, what we saw was a 20% increase in dollars donated. Again, powerful amongst, you know, that kind of uncertain economy that showed up at the end of the year. We also saw some growth in the number of grants awarded, but they were at about a similar amount of total grants dollars. So more grants, likely a bit smaller. And then the biggest and most notable thing we saw last year was volunteering soared to new heights. We saw a 61% increase in volunteer hours year over year. And we actually saw the highest number of volunteering hours on our platform ever. And then we also saw a 91% growth in the number of volunteers. So that's just a massive push in volunteering, which is incredible, and a number of companies really adopting volunteering into their corporate cultures, probably for the reasons that we discussed earlier.
So our next set of questions really focus on the takeaways for our audience to help with their programs. And my first question to you is, you know, if there's one thing that readers can take away from the State of Corporate Purpose report, what would that be?
Yeah, I think that, you know, in this continuing uncertain economy, in this world, you know, of constant change and crisis, you know, it's really idealistic to say, don't pull back on purpose, keep going as far as you can. But that's not the current reality we're facing. And so I think what I really love about this year's report is it gives very tactical insights into how companies are thinking about investing during this time. And it really is around volunteering, ERGs, thinking about the positive impacts that they're generating, and then finding where they sit on that courageous, cautious continuum. So what I really want readers to take away is that it's not an all or nothing. It can be discouraging when you don't get the resources you want or the support you want, or other teams or departments are busy with other priorities now. But you know, if you really think about how you can embed this into the company's context right now and help use your programs to solve business challenges, there's actually a tremendous opportunity. And I'll tie that back really quickly to the talent retention study that we published last year that really showed that, you know, employees who engage in these programs tend to leave less. And so again, you know, just knowing the value of your program to your business is a powerful way to continue to champion it.
And I'll make sure to leave a link to the talent retention study in the comment section in the description below. So the next question is there a stat, you know, you mentioned a couple of stats already from the trends from the report, but is there one or two stats that CSR leaders should remember from this report that they can take away for their programs?
Yeah, there is one. It's actually right at the end of the report. And it's not one that we talk about a lot, but I think it's actually the most impactful one. And the stat is 92% of CSR leaders agree that companies shouldn't put a burden on nonprofits for impact reporting. That is a vast majority. That's almost everyone who says that. And yet we as corporate funders and, you know, corporate social responsibilities are the biggest offenders. We're the ones who ask these nonprofits to fill out reams and reams of survey data to tell us what impact they're having, whether or not those nonprofits are actually equipped to capture and manage that data. And so the change is on us. We clearly have an appetite to make a difference. And so that means also making a difference, not in just providing funding, but in the way we actually engage with our nonprofits. So if we can be the change we want to see in the world on this topic, which is really looking at what is the burden we're putting on our nonprofits during this time of economic pressure, because they're facing the exact same thing we are, let's just lead with that change. So ask yourself, what is the one or two things we can do to remove the burden on our nonprofits, especially as it relates to impact reporting? There are massive amounts of data wastage. You probably use 5 to 10% of the data you get from your nonprofits. Could you just ask for that?
Isn't that always the case? We have way too much data that we can we can actually use. So last question here, based on the report, you know, where should CSR leaders use their budget and their resources in their programs this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to, of course, depend on each company and what matters to them and, you know, what their strategic focus is. But I would say, number one, volunteering. It's such a powerful way to bring your people together. And it goes beyond bagels and coffee at the office. It's a much more meaningful way to drive engagement, community, and connection. You could have bagels as well, but the volunteering piece is pretty powerful. I would say also investment in scaling ERGs. ERGs have shown sustained growth over the last few years. Help them be successful by providing them with technology and tools and funding resources to actually be successful. Nothing is worse than asking people from historically excluded groups to step up and take voluntary roles and then not equip them with what they need to be successful. And then finally, you know, grants. Critical, and so always critical, but especially right now to local communities and those organizations that are led by people of color or underrepresented groups, they get such a minimal amount of funding. So really think about how you can actually increase your funding to organizations led by BIPOC leaders or historically excluded groups.
You also forgot pizza lunches.
Yeah, that's because that does bring me in.
So Sona, is there anything else you'd like to add in terms of the state of corporate purpose report for CSR leaders?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately this is a great year to take a step back. It's been 3 years since the pandemic and assess what you've learned. We've done a lot in the last 3 years. We've tried a lot of things. We've reacted. We've responded. We've, you know, revised our strategies, revised our investments. We've got enough time and data now to actually look back and see, you know, what did we learn? And I would say, let's just take a moment to reflect on who we are coming out of this and who we want to be going forward. It's a powerful moment, actually.
So if anybody wants to connect or reach out to you, Sona, what's the best place to reach you?
I'm on LinkedIn. That's the best place.
Thank you for listening to The Social Impact Show. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Then visit benevity.com to access some of the resources mentioned in this episode, along with tons of other insights to help you grow your program. Music provided by Ikeson. For questions or topics you want us to cover, reach us at podcast@benevity.com. Until next time, be a force for good.